the people of Israel, and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Egyptians and the Amorites, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, no, this is Ezra speaking here. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonied. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonied until the evening sacrifice, and at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, even delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. For now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it with one end to another, with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that our God hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful for your word and for this story that we have before us. And I pray, Lord, as we look at it contextually, that you would help us, Lord, to learn the principles that we need to learn. And we're grateful, Lord, for your mercy and grace, and for the fact that you are a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. But Lord, I pray that we would never take your grace for granted. And I pray, Lord, you would help us to do what is right and make right decisions in our life. And so, Lord, I pray that as I present your word here tonight, that you would help us, each of us, to make good decisions. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the book of Ezra is a wonderful book in our Bible. It doesn't get as much attention as it ought to. The book of Ezra is the chronological successor to 2 Chronicles. And at the end of 2 Chronicles, Judah has been finally captured by Babylon. Now, 50 years, remember, they are exiled 70 years. And 50 years into that exile, or into that capture, Ezra writes the book of Ezra. Now, Ezra records the beginning of the restoration and the return of captive Israel to their homeland. Ezra, during this 70 years of exile, 50 years in, he begins to pen. And he pens this 50 years where God gives his people an opportunity to make things right. Now, during the 70-year interval of the official exile, the 70 years, God inspired several prophets to write during this time. Jeremiah completed prophecies from the land of Judah, and within that we find the book of Lamentations, which is the weeping of the prophet Jeremiah as he looked at the condition of Israel. Ezekiel wrote his prophecies during this time as a captive within the Babylonian Empire. And then, of course, Daniel also wrote as a captive within Babylon. Now, meanwhile, back in Palestine, during all these events that were taking place, a small number of Jews not taken to Assyria or Babylon had intermarried with Gentiles, forming the nucleus of the later race, the Samaritans. And we know from the New Testament that the Jews despised the Samaritans. They were an intermarried race, and they were dogs to them. They hated the Samaritans. They would travel miles and miles out of their way to go around Samaria to get to their destination. And that's why when we think of the heart of the Lord Jesus, it's so important when the Bible uses that incredible phrase that Jesus must go through Samaria, because God loved everybody and God had a heart for everybody, even the despised Samaritans. Now, the land was little by little being claimed by neighboring Gentile peoples. Jerusalem was totally destroyed. The temple was gone. The walls were torn down. It was Nehemiah who had that burden in his heart to go back and rebuild the walls. In the book of Nehemiah, we read about that. A little was left of the once proud nation of Israel. God had judged his people for their rebellion, for their backslidden, sinful condition. And yet, when you think about Israel and their sin, when you think about their rebellion, and you think about God's attitude toward that, God hated their sin, there's no doubt about it. But one thing we understand about the very attribute of God is that he was willing to forgive, and he was rich in mercy, and he was willing to restore. And we read about that through the prophets, and as they write through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the heart of God was for restoration. I mean, think about the book of Lamentations. I mentioned Jeremiah writing the book of Lamentations, and he's looking and he's weeping at the very state of Israel because of their sin. And he writes in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The mercies of God is what Jeremiah recalls to his mind. The reason why they were not utterly destroyed was because God is a merciful God. And I'm grateful for the mercy of God. By the way, God's mercy is us not getting what we deserve. And the grace of God is us getting what we don't deserve. I'm grateful for the mercy of God and the grace of God. And the Bible tells us that they are new every morning. But here's an important truth. God's mercy and God's grace comes into our life to give us the opportunity to do the right thing, to make the right decision. And this is what Ezra is writing about. You see, God gave his people an incredible opportunity. They were exiled for 70 years. 50 years into that exile, God gave a remnant an opportunity to go back into Jerusalem and to rebuild that temple. There was an incredible opportunity. The Bible says this in Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Look at our text. Ezra calls it a space grace. I like that. And now for a little space grace have been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. God gave them this incredible opportunity. They deserve 70 years. But God showed them incredible grace and mercy and allowed a remnant to return, a remnant to go back home and to do his work. And this was a great opportunity to do the right thing, to do the right thing. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God gives us opportunities in our life to do what is right. And God had given this space grace to the children of Israel. God had allowed them to continue his work. And this was an incredible opportunity to build a wall, to build a temple, to do the very work of God. In fact, Ezra said it is a time of reviving in their life, a great opportunity. But things go terribly wrong. Things go terribly wrong. I want us to notice in our text here, as we look at the context of this passage of Scripture, notice with me Ezra's observation. And so Ezra gets news of what's happening. This remnant is returning, and they are in Jerusalem. And we notice in this passage of Scripture what Ezra hears, what he observes. We see Israel's course in verse number 1. The Bible says, now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying. So Ezra gets word of what's happening. And the Bible says here that the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. You say, well, what's the big deal? What does it mean? Well, first of all, understand this. This was in direct violation of what God told them to do. You can write this down if you're taking notes. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And verse number 3, the Bible says, neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. So this is exactly what God told them not to do. And the Bible says that they were in direct violation of God's law. But this is where it's complexing, because this is exactly what they did 50 years ago. This was exactly their sin against God. This was the reason why God exiled them for 70 years in the first place. And so think about this. They had intermarried. They got involved in idol worship. They were not separated. They were not focusing on the true God. Remember, Israel's purpose was that other Gentile heathen nations, pagan nations, would see the true God in them, and other nations would draw to Israel that they worship the true God, but they were not fulfilling God's purposes in their life. And because of that, God punished them 70 years. And now they are exactly where they were 50 years ago. They had an opportunity to make things right, but they were not making things right. They were doing exactly what they did in the first place. And our decisions in our life, it changes or impacts our direction. And everyone's direction has a destination. And God's people were making the wrong decisions in their life. But notice Ezra's consideration. So Ezra is thinking about this. He gets word that they're not separated, that they're marrying these pagan women from pagan nations, and he hears this, and now he's going to stand and pray to a holy God. Here's a people that have been judged for their sin, and God did this so that they would learn their lesson, and now God gave them this space grace, this opportunity to make things right with not even going through the full 70 years. Ezra said that we didn't even get what we deserved, but God gave them an opportunity, and now they have returned to their prior actions. And so the Bible says in verse 5, and at the evening sacrifice, this was such a burden on Ezra. He says, I arose up from my heaviness, and I rent my garment and my mantle, and I fell upon my knees, and I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And notice what he says in verse 6. He says, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to you. Ezra is ashamed to look to God. You know, I think in our society today, it would be good if our society would be ashamed and be blushed at their sin. And the reality is we as Christians ought to understand the impact of our sin, not only in our own lives, but how it makes God feel. And Ezra understood that. The Bible says that he had such heaviness upon his heart, such sorrow, such pain, such hurt. He says, we have sinned against you. We have made this decision. Ezra said, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to you. I am ashamed at my people's sin and their sinful condition. And so we notice in this passage of Scripture, as Ezra is looking to the Lord, his observation, but let's think about Israel's opportunity. And so the Bible says in verse 13, the Bible says, and after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, that's 70 years of exile. After everything that they went through, the punishment that they faced, or they didn't even get through the 70 years. The punishment that they faced, 70 years of exile. He says here in verse 13, for our great trespass, seeing that our God hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and have given us such deliverance as this. God has shown mercy to us. God has given us grace. And by the way, mercy and grace is always for the opportunity to get things right. God doesn't give us grace and mercy so we run back into our sin. God gives us mercy and grace so that we can do the right thing in our life. And Isaiah is saying, you have given us such great deliverance and shown us great mercy. And look what we do to you. Look how we treat you. Look how we treat your mercy and your grace. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. It's impossible for mercy and truth to coexist. How can mercy not getting what you deserve, and truth, you getting what you deserve. How can they be in the same room? The only way that that's possible is by the grace of God. And by the way, Psalm 85 verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. He has paid the price for our sin. He has given us the opportunity to be free from the burden of our sin, to have our sin paid for by the blood of Christ. 70 years in exile, sons separated from dads and mothers separated from their children is nothing compared to the Son of God who died on the cross for all of our sin so that we can be free from our sin debt. And yet, friend, if we think about that for just a moment, the grace of God to make right decisions ought to be very near and dear to our heart. The Bible says this. We think about the fact that because of the mercy of God, Ezra says we did not get what we deserved. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. You know, it's important for us to understand that the will of God, God's purposes in our life, never contradict. And it's interesting in the story of Eve, because Eve said, well, you know, or Adam said of Eve, the reason why I'm in this position is because the woman that you made me, she is the reason why I'm here today. You know what Adam is saying? He's saying, God, this is all your fault. I'm in this position because of you. But God's will never contradicts. And as we are led by the Lord, we understand that we have a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. We have a wonderful opportunity to do what is right and to follow the Lord. And Ezra is saying in this passage of Scripture, let's not make the same mistake again. Let's not go down the same pathway again. God has given us grace. He's given us a reviving, an opportunity to please him. And let's not blame anyone. Let's look to our life and let's make good decisions. Let's separate ourselves from this sin and let's obey the Lord. You know, let's look at this principle base now. And I'm not just talking about sin specifically, but I'm talking about our time. And let's think about this opportunity we have here tonight to think about the time or the space grace that God has given us today. You know, I think it's always the right time to do what is right. It's always the right time to do what is right. I heard a funny story of Washington, George Washington. If he were alive today, George Washington would owe an incredible library fine. In fact, the New York City's oldest library has a ledger that indicates that George Washington has never returned two books he borrowed in 1789. You can imagine trying to pay off 220 years of overdue fees. Someone actually put it all together, and they said that George Washington today owes over $300,000 in overdue book fees. Now, I'm not sure why the president never returned those books. Maybe he wanted to. Maybe he had the opportunity to, but maybe he didn't take the opportunity that he had. The reality is that it's always the right time to do what is right. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5, verse 16, a simple principle. It says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Bible makes a simple principle. It says, make good use of the opportunity that God gives you. Make good use of the space grace that God has given you today. Now, this is what Ezra is really saying. Ezra is saying, God has given you an opportunity. make good in that opportunity. And so I say that we ought to make good. We ought to redeem the time in our life. Now is the opportunity to make things right in relationships that we have. Now is the opportunity to forgive that person in your life. Now is the opportunity to confess that sin. Now is the opportunity to come and to pray for loved ones who need the Lord. Now is the space grace to come and to make things right in your walk with God. Now is the time to live a life for God. I'm just saying that the opportunity's here, but it may be gone. And this is what Ezra is saying. Ezra is saying that God gave us an opportunity. God gave us an opportunity. We need to make sure that we make right in that opportunity. I don't know if you've heard the story of Bernard Berenson. He was internationally famous. He was an internationally famous art critic. And he was one that had a huge zest for life. He loved life. And even when he had a severe illness in his life, he cherished every moment of his life. And he was said to take his life and to squeeze out every inch of every moment of time. He just loved life. Shortly before he died at the age of 94 years old, he said this to a friend. He said, "I would be willing to stand at street corners, my hat in hand, asking passerbyers to drop their unused minutes into it." Oh, that we would learn to appreciate tonight the value of our time. You see, time is an opportunity. Time is a chance to make things right. Time is God's grace and God's mercy. Jeremiah said it's new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Time is a chance of reviving in our life, to do it God's way, to go in God's direction, to follow the Lord. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have. Alexander McLaren, a noted Baptist preacher from England, said this. He said, "Every moment of our life is granted us for one purpose, becoming like our dear Lord. That ultimately all-embracing end is reaching through a multitude of near and intermediate ones." The opportunity we have is the grace of God to make right decisions. And this is what Ezra is writing about. Ezra is saying, listen, God gave us a space grace. He gave us an opportunity to make things right. And we have this opportunity to do that. But you're not doing that. You're returning to that way. You're disobeying God again. And he's saying here, let's take the opportunity and let's do what is right. I want us to notice thirdly, and I'll be done tonight, our obligation. Our obligation. Now notice what the Bible says, if we could turn to chapter 10 now. So we looked at Ezra chapter 9. Let's turn the page here and look at chapter 10. And notice what the Bible says. We see Israel's opportunity, but we see our obligation. Verse number 1 of chapter 10. Look at this. "Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed weeping and casting himself down before the house of God." I mean, Ezra, this is serious business now. I mean, he's not playing church. He's not playing around. This is serious business. "There assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation." So here he is praying to God, and he's casting himself down to the ground before a holy, righteous God. And everyone is watching this, and they all come together, verse number 1 of chapter 10, and a great, very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. This passage of Scripture is incredible because what it is, it's a revival. they get their heart right with God. They made a decision to follow the Lord, to dare to be a Daniel, to make good decisions. They were going one way, and they changed direction in their life. You know, I cannot believe tonight that it's already almost the end of August. Where in the world has 2023 gone? It's just amazing how fast time is going. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, a boy, and now I'm 42, going to be 43. And I'm heading to 50. The reality is that time stands still for no one. For no one. And the time that we have on this earth is the time that we have to make good decisions. And the reality is that every decision we make, though we are influenced by a lot of people and our upbringing and all these things, at the end of the day, when we make that decision, it is on us. We are responsible for the decision that we've made. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that when the people heard Ezra pray, calling out to God, pouring his heart out to God, they got right with God. And they changed the direction of their life. Let me ask you this question here tonight. How are things going spiritually with you? I'm not asking you how your health is, though that's important. I'm not asking tonight how you're doing financially. I'm asking tonight, how are you doing spiritually? The children of Israel were coming to rebuild the temple. They were coming to rebuild the very house of God. And if we're not careful, our good intentions in being spiritual and rebuilding the temple, we can get strayed from what God wants us to do. And those good intentions can be lost with bad decisions. And Ezra realized this, and he called them out. And he said, now is the time for us to make a right decision. Now is the time for us to serve a great God. Now is the time for us not to stomp on the very mercy of God and the grace of God, but accept that mercy and grace and do what is right in our life. And tonight we have an opportunity. Each day we have an opportunity to do what is right and to follow the Lord. And I don't know about you, and I think everyone here tonight, I think we all want to do what is right, right? We all want to do what is right. We all want to follow the Lord. And God, help us today to take the space grace, the opportunity that God has given us, and to make good decisions. And do you know where it begins? It begins tonight, right now, making a good decision for the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for this wonderful book in our Bible.